Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, he's considered one of the most influential Irish politicians, perhaps one of the most influential of the last 50 years. That's what people are saying about John Hume, who died yesterday at the age of 83. In a documentary on RTE last night, his SDLP colleague Seamus Mallon said he would mention John Hume in the same breath as Parnell and Daniel O'Connell. And the tributes are just extraordinary, pouring out today, not just in Ireland, but a heartfelt global outpouring today. And it's what, there's so many that are just so easy to agree with, of the life that he led and the work that he did to seek peace through non-violence. With me to talk about the life and legacy of John Hume, I have someone who worked closely with him for many years, Ireland's former Taoiseach from 1994 to 1997. John Bruton joins me on the line. John, good morning to you.
Morning, Andy.
It's pretty hard to sum up the life of John Hume in a 10-minute interview, so maybe we'll just start with some of your most enduring memories of John Hume.
Well, my enduring memory of John Hume is of a man who thought very deeply about the experiences that he was going through. He grew up in difficult conditions in Derry, in a divided city where normal civil rights were not available to equally to everybody. And he thought deeply about why that was the case. He didn't go down the traditional road of saying it's all the fault of the other side and we need our side to win and then everything will be fine. He didn't go down the road of saying, well, we need a united Ireland and that would solve everything, as if there was resistance to it from a part of the community. Instead, he reckoned that politics should move away from defining nationality on the basis of territory, what flag flew over what county, but rather instead nationalism as an expression of people getting on with one another, communities with different histories getting on with one another. And that informed his approach to the peace process in Northern Ireland. It informed his approach to the building of the European Union. I remember one of John Hume's colleagues in the European Parliament, Joe McCartan, saying that building the European Union was the closest thing he knew to God's work in politics. And in a sense, building reconciliation for John Hume was the closest he could get to God's work in politics.
Yeah, indeed. One commentary I was reading earlier, I think it was from Colm Eastwood, the current SDLP leader, and he said that one of the things that he felt would sum him up is that beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. You've mentioned there, John, just the intellectual contribution that John Hume made, but I think when people think of him, peace is probably one of the core attributes that will come to mind. Do you think that this was one of his key qualities, that commitment to peace?
Yes, but I think his intellectual analysis of the problems of Ireland was the basis upon which we were able to make peace, because by saying the issue was about people and not about territory, he removed the basis for the use of violence to dominate territory at the expense of other people. If the problem rather was about people getting on with one another, then of course violence was completely irrelevant to that. And in that sense, I think John Hume was not only a great peacemaker, and he was very, very persistent, but he was the intellectual father, if you like, of the peace process as well.
One of the quotes I'm reading of his, John, is, "Difference is the essence of our humanity. Difference is an accident of birth and it should never be the source of hatred or conflict. The answer to difference is to respect it. Therein lies the most fundamental principle of peace, respect for diversity." That sums up that kind of intellectual thought process that you're touching on. Did everybody agree with that thought process, though?
Well, I think not everybody agrees to it with it even to this day, because we see flag waving and territorial claims all over the world. We even see it on the streets in Northern Ireland, where some of the paving stones are painted one colour and others another colour, marking out territory. So his work is not fully complete. I was listening to former President Bill Clinton talking about him as well, and saying that John Hume was the sort of man that we needed at the present time, because there's so much identity politics going on, where people are using their religious or political identity or their national identity as a way of defining themselves as different from other people and creating discrimination, in a sense, between themselves and the other. John Hume was completely opposed to that, and he didn't just take a stand. He worked day and night to persuade other people to see things differently, to see new possibilities. His persistence, his almost supernatural patience were, I think, his enduring characteristics.
Interesting that you're mentioning former President Bill Clinton there, because some would say that the unique access that Irish politicians have to the White House and indeed Capitol Hill in many respects is with thanks to John Hume's influence.
That's right. I think that he was able to make contact with people like Tip O'Neill and Tom Foley, and through the House of Representatives and later the Senate, he was able to get access also to the White House. I think the Irish-American community were very, very important as well, because they were important in the political campaigns of any of the people that John was able to persuade, and they opened their doors to him partly for that reason. But I think also John changed the way Irish-Americans looked at Ireland. In the past, Irish-Americans, indeed since the famine, had tended to see Ireland's problems as being simply one of getting the British out, as if that would solve the divisions that exist still between the two communities in Northern Ireland. John Hume persuaded them that that was not necessarily the best way of proceeding, that instead we needed to seek a reconciliation, a redefinition of the problem agreed by both unionists and nationalists, both people of an Irish allegiance and people of a British allegiance, that living together on the same island, they could work together. And he persuaded Irish Americans to support that vision, which was a huge change for them, just as the transition from the use of violence to peaceful methods, it was a huge transition for Sinn Féin and the IRA, but John Hume persuaded them of that.
How important was his role in being one of the architects of the Good Friday Agreement?
Well, I think it's absolutely central. The Good Friday Agreement, with its three relationships, the relationship between the communities in Northern Ireland, the relationship between North and South, and the relationship between Britain and Ireland, that was at the heart of John Hume's thinking. This was at the heart of thinking that lay behind the Sunningdale Agreement negotiated by Liam Cosgrave, Brian Faulkner and Edward Heath, and eventually of the Good Friday Agreement. It was a new way, a radically new way of looking at Ireland's problems in comparison with those ones we'd been pursuing from the 1850s right up to the 1950s with little success.
One of the other things that he was determined to do was to attract business and investment in Northern Ireland. It seemed to be a real passion for him, and he believed that economic development was a key part of peace building.
He did, and I think that was a big part of his work in North America as well. He helped to bring business to Ireland, but particularly, I think, to Derry. But I think he recognised that, of course, peace and prosperity go together. If you don't have peace, you won't have much prosperity. And prosperity, you know, is built on a foundation of understanding. But it's still, unfortunately, the case to some degree in Northern Ireland that people live in different communities. They go to work together, but they don't go to the same sporting events. And so we need to find ways of bringing the communities, and they're both major Christian communities, closer together in Northern Ireland. So I think he would agree that religion has a part to play in this, and I think this is something important to be said and reminded of.
He, of course, himself attended a seminary, I believe, for 2 years before heading down the political path.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I think he was clearly somebody who saw that he had a responsibility to make a contribution to the community in which he grew up. He was fortunate in that, although he came from a very difficult financial situation, his family were quite poor, he was able to get a scholarship to university, and he wanted to make sure that that privilege that he had obtained would be used for the good of others, and he did that through politics.
You mentioned earlier just his connection, of course, to the European Parliament. He was an MEP for, I think, 25 years. How important was the work that John Hume did in Brussels and Strasbourg?
Well, I think he worked particularly hard on what they call regional policy and making sure that parts of the European Union that were remote from the centre got some additional help. And he would have been behind, you know, the 8 billion that Ireland got, I think, in one of the famous summits. John Hume would have been working behind the scenes in the Parliament to achieve that. But it wasn't just for Ireland, it was for places like Nice and Spain and other parts of the world that had less access to the flow of finance in capitalism without some additional help.
What do you think, John, that today's politicians can learn from the life of John Hume?
I think they can learn that one needs to talk with people who were previously your rivals or even your enemies, and that you must learn to understand what their concerns are, where they're coming from, what causes them to be anxious. And if you can address that in what you do, they will soon cease to be your rivals and cease to be your enemies.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today to reflect on the life of John Hume. John Bruton, former Taoiseach there, chatting to us today. And from the man who brought so much peace to this island, may he now rest in peace.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.